We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
91.7 FM, Memphis.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Gertrude C. Ford Center on the campus of the University of Mississippi.
Whoa, when you're feeling way down low, got no place to go, can't call a lover, can't find no friend, can call your soul and soul, put your hand on the radio, can you feel it?
Thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Gertrude C. Ford Center on the campus of the University of Mississippi in Oxford, Mississippi. Beautiful spring day outside, nice crowd inside, and a fine show for y'all. Great music from Memphis, Tennessee. There's always a great sound from that town. We got Serena Wages is here, a fine songwriter. She's going to play and sing for you. Yes, 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 she's great. I understand she has roots in the North Mississippi area. We'll be talking about that. Fine band from Alabama, y'all. Kind of a jam, string, bluegrassy kind of band you're going to love. Reed Break is here. Reed Break. They're very cool. And our author today is Andrew McCarthy. Andrew McCarthy, his memory. Yes. His book is called Walking with Sam, where he and his 18-year-old son walk 500 miles across Spain, and they get about a half mile before they're ready to choke each other. So it'll be fun talking to Andrew. You come on a good day, y'all. This will be fun. Look at this big band we've got. Please bring them to the stage. It is the Yalla Bushwhackers.
Your name in lights above it. This is your place.
Let him hear you, y'all. Let him hear you. Our house band. Yeah, boy. The Yalla Bushwhacker Big Band. Our horn section, Brandon Lewis, Casey Leip, Dakota Young, and Michael Worthy. We've got our standard Yalla Bushwhacker, certified, if you will, and now institutionalized, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky Burkhead, Slade Lewis, Keon Love, Paul Tate, our arranger and band leader, and the beautiful vocals of Mary Frances Massey. They'll be back later in the show. You know we mean business when we bring out the horns and Mary Frances, y'all. Yeah, boy. All right, Serena Wages, as I mentioned, you've got roots in the North Mississippi area. I read online, so it must be true, that your family was run out of North Carolina, and they settled in North Mississippi some years ago. They were run out of North Carolina for stealing horses and other boorish behavior. Of course, they were welcomed into Mississippi, and you said your family evolved into three groups. You had the preachers, you had the drunks and the outlaws, and you had the mid-range group, and you, Serena, and your folks come from the mid-range group. Well, we don't believe that for a second, do we, ladies and gentlemen? She has a fine album coming out very soon, I believe in May, called Vanity Project. She's from Memphis, Tennessee. She's right here on Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. Y'all please welcome Serena Wages.
What a joy to be welcomed into this beautiful space with you guys. This is really wonderful. Thank you for having me. This first song is called Call Me.
Of all the bars I could have gone to, now I'm back here drinking next to you. The list of things I swore I'd never do again. I should have walked out when you walked in. Oh, but call me, call me on your way back home. 'Cause I don't wanna be alone, and now that someone's waiting for you. Oh, call me, you didn't mean a word we said. No, it ain't over yet. If I call you out and you call me crazy, just call me. Singing drive-by truckers in your pickup truck, your face in the light when the sun comes up. All these things I'm trying to forget, but I can't, 'cause this town too small for the both of us. We'll get too drunk, say too much. Let's take the things we can't talk about tomorrow. Call me, call me on your way back home. 'Cause I don't wanna be alone. And thank you.
Thank you. I'm Serena Wages. This is Jeremy Stanfill, also a fellow Memphian. I'm putting out my debut record this year. And this next song we're going to play is about growing up in the country parts north of Memphis. I'm from Millington near Shelby Forest, if you're familiar. And this kind of pays homage to that. This song came out 2 weeks ago everywhere. It's called Robin Hood. Here we go, yeah. Breaking free from all these chains. Gonna wash my head, change the locks on my mind, and board a jet plane. Keep your money and your pride. Does the volume of your voice make you a real man? Where the women are rowdy and the angels sing. And I got Robin Hood on the back of my daddy's 60s Cadillac and Sophia Lounge. Hallelujah, kissing babies, making deals, saying prayers, and looking down my blouse. Well, I come from complicated people, yeah, we roll the dice, but we're high on integrity. And if I live to meet God, I'll be the richest man, all my family will sleep peacefully. And I got Robin Hood on the back of my daddy's 60s Cadillac and Sophia now. Watch your mouth, girl, watch your weight. Might try and catch a tan through the glass ceiling. Thank you so much. We're going to play one more song. This is the first song off my record. My record is called Vanity Project. That title is a story for another time. But the first song is called Carried Away. And I like to write songs about things I can't figure out in my life. And sometimes I write them about the place I want to be in, not necessarily the place I'm in at the time. So I wrote this as a projection of the woman I wanted to be, how free and unashamed and fearless I wanted to feel. We'd love to meet you in the lobby after the show. If you like the song, look it up on all the platforms, the Spotify and the Apple Music, all those things. If you don't like it, you can get out.
baby, sage the tower. Never beg a man to stay. Send myself some fancy flowers. My heart stained glass. I make love in every color. I'm free and emotional. Got class and a mind of gold. And I get carried away. Oh, I get carried away. Oh, I'm begging my body, and there's no place like this. Like this. Ooh. Undress on the balcony, those midnight eyes all over me. Saying who's that girl and watch her move. Making passes at the man in the moon. Life is short and time is deep. I'm a mother and a lover and a dancing queen. If he can't see it, I'll let him go. Cross my heart, I'll let him go. And I get carried. I get carried away, baby. Close my eyes, I start to sway, and all the gray clouds go away. Ride in the car with my best friend, she's Technicolor. Modern girls, a modern world, my head is hot, my hair is curled. I know that love will come for me in Technicolor. Oh, get carried away, oh yeah. Oh, I get carried away, oh baby. I get carried away, get carried away, carried away. Oh, with myself.
Serena Wages, it's so lovely to meet you. Thank you, Thacker Mountain, for having us. This is really lovely.
One more time, y'all. Serena Wages. Great, great, great. Thank you so much. Vanity Project is the name of her album that will be out in May, as she mentioned. We really appreciate Serena Wages being on the show, singing those songs. Thank you. We also would like to thank the Oxford Film Festival, y'all. How about the Oxford Film Festival? 21 years and counting and growing and getting better and better. We salute them, and we're delighted to be a part of their activities. They're going to have a great weekend. We'd also like to thank our sponsors, the Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, Mississippi Arts Commission, R&B Fader Foundation, Southside Gallery, Square Books, the good folks at Square Books, y'all. I mean, what would this town be? Ooh, shudder to think. Taproot Audio Design, the award-winning Jeffrey Reed, who has count on 4 movies in the festival this week. He did the sound for Jeffrey Reed, the man. Hope you win a hoka, and a hoka, and another hoka. Aren't they still giving away hokas? So cool. Taproot Audio Design, Jeffrey, the Lyric Oxford, the University of Mississippi, the good folks at Visit Oxford, the Yotnabatawpha Arts Council, what would we do without them? Yeah, Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation, Water Valley, Mississippi, what would we do without them? And Bob Banahan and Susan Curlin, thank you very much. Also thank our affiliates, y'all, WUMS. That's the University of Mississippi, U92.1 FM. Went the extra mile to put us live on the radio today. They plugged the gizmo into the thingamajig and made it all happen. We thank them so much. WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. The good folks at Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Alabama Public Radio, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee, WUTC. Also WOOT in Knoxville, Tennessee. And KCNE in True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. I know. We love them. Boy, I can't even see them for that big old thing. It's Keon Love. Thank you, Keon. A grand piano. It's going to be hard to go back to that little Casio thingy that we normally have. And I failed to mention our good buddy Mark Iacobone joining us today with the Yalla Bushwhackers. Man, great to have him back. All righty, our next guest is Andrew McCarthy. His newest book is Walking with Sam, A Father, A Son, and 500 Miles Across Spain. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah. On the trip, they get into every discussion you can imagine, including divorce and trauma and school and Andrew's difficult relationship with his own dad and fame, and of course, Flaming Hot Cheetos, ladies and gentlemen. You have it on your bio, man, not me. Andrew, you might also be aware, has appeared in dozens of films, including Pretty in Pink, St. Elmo's Fire, Less Than Zero. Yeah. Cult favorites, Weekend at Bernie's and Mannequin. He's also the author of a memoir called Brett, an 80s story, became a New York Times bestseller that he is currently making into a TV documentary. I think it'll air on Hulu later this year. Also, he is a television director. Some of your favorite shows, The Blacklist, New Amsterdam, Orange is the New Black. Look for Andrew McCarthy. Yeah, he's a busy man. But today he is joining us to celebrate this book and to celebrate film. Again, it is called Walking with Sam. Y'all please welcome Andrew McCarthy.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
As we were talking before, Sam does just not come off too well in my eyes. He comes off kind of as a brat. And I mentioned this to Andrew earlier, and he said, no, man, I mean, he read it, and he was fine with it, to the extent he did read it. But I mean, there are things like Sam would one day, when you've got blisters on your feet and you're exhausted and you're trying to figure out why we decided to do this, he decides to have a fake Australian accent all day.
Yeah, that was a bad day for me.
He walks ahead of you, and he's got his earbuds in, and he's singing along, and he doesn't care if he drifts off into the highway.
He had a tendency to wander out into the road, yeah. So, it's kind of a metaphor for his life. But you know, a lot of people, when the first question a lot of people would ask me is, how did you get your 19-year-old kid to agree to walk 500 miles and spend a month with you doing this? And the second question people would ask is, why would you take your kid to do this, you know? And, you know, to answer the first one, if I could, and to defend Sam a little bit, he had just been dumped by his girlfriend, you know, and he was moping around the house. And I saw he was at a weak, vulnerable moment, and I'd been bragging about doing the Camino I did it decades earlier and always wanted to do it again, and I'd always wanted to take my kids. And I knew he was in a weak moment, and I just said, Sam, you wanna go walk across Spain? And he's like, whatever. And literally, I went into the next room, I bought 2 tickets for Spain, and 2 days later, we were walking before he knew what hit him. That was the only way I'd get him to go with me, you know. And I have to say, on day 2 of the walk, he did say to me, turned to me, and goes, Dad, what is the point of this effing walk? And he did not say effing, you know. And then on the last day, spoiler alert, save you from reading the book, he turned to me and says, Dad, that's the only 10 out of 10 thing I've ever done in my life. You know?
There you are.
Right? So, I just saved you, Reed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I said,
it's the journey.
He calls you bro. Hey, chill, bro. What's up, bruh? And again, I'm out of the loop. That's how kids refer to their parents nowadays. Anybody agree with that? Bro, they call you bro
on a good day.
That would not have flown. Wouldn't have flown very far at my house.
No, mine either.
Man, yeah. But you do. He almost has a character arc, as do you. You're not exactly easy on yourself in this book. You can be very irritable, as anybody would be. You've got 6 blisters, for crying out loud. I mean, literally.
Well, I had lots of doubts about myself as a dad in many ways, you know, that I'd lived with for a long time. And, you know, am I sort of man enough? Am I dad enough, you know, to do this? I had a complicated relationship with my own dad, and I didn't, you know, when I left home at 17, that was the end of my relationship with my dad, really, you know, and I didn't want that with all my heart. I didn't want that with my own kids. So, I mean, that's really why we went on the walk in my mind, was to sort of try and establish an adult-to-adult relationship with him, you know, because I didn't have any template to do that, because I didn't have it with my dad. So I wanted to establish that kind of man-to-man kind of relationship, as opposed to parent dominating over a kid who's rebellious or acquiescent, you know. So it was a learning experience for both of us, how to modulate this relationship into 2 grown-ups.
Man, it was an incredibly brave thing to embark on. You write, you mentioned that you start off every day saying to yourself, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. Let him sort of, and he doesn't talk for the first hour or so.
Well, it's one of the greatest privilege I had on the walk, is the greatest luxury I had was with an adult child, is time. You know, because they're always running out the door, and it's like, but I knew I had a captive audience, and I didn't have to fix his problems or solve anything. I just had to listen and be there with him, you know, and walk with him. And, you know, that was a great learning lesson for me, too, to not have to, like, have all the answers all the time and be wise and be all this kind of stuff that we try and think we need to be for our kids. I was just there, you know, and they just want to, like everybody, want to figure stuff out themselves. And so to just be a bouncing board for him and to keep my mouth shut, that was the biggest lesson I learned. Just keep your mouth shut. You know,
man.
It helped me in my marriage, too.
Well, you know, and we think this pilgrimage trail that you took, and there are several, but you took sort of the main trail. You're thinking this is a purifying thing. You're going to maybe, you know, eat right and get healthy and get some sun. But no, he's on Snapchat and you guys are eating pizza every day.
Well, it was a good thing he was on Snapchat, because I got us lost a few times, and he would consult his little Snapchat map and go, Dad, we got to go left up here, you know.
You're sitting there with actual guidebooks.
Yeah, I'm old school with my book, and he's on his little phone.
He goes, no, bruh.
Exactly.
And he's right every time.
That was the thing. He was right every time, you know.
And you put that in the book. And people get the wrong idea. There's plenty of countryside. Don't get us wrong. There's plenty of wheat fields.
Spain's amazing. Amazing country to walk through. Yeah. Amazing. The people are great, and the food beside the pizza is great. I mean, it's a real profound experience. I mean, walking in and of itself, and the wearing down that it does to you over 500 miles is, you know, and then builds you back up. Walking's an extraordinary thing, as we were chatting about before. You know, it's a great cleanser of the mind and body.
I bet, and I was telling Andrew, I bet half our audience are walkers. We have anybody that makes walking part of their day every day. I like to get up and walk. That's what I thought most. We all know why we love it. I don't know about 500 miles with an 18.
No, you know, people have asked me. They said, "Should I want to do some of the walk?" And I'm like, "Okay, go do some of the walk, but it's best if you go do all the walk, because there's something about the sheer repetition, day after day after day after day of walking. If you have the time, that's where the gold is. You know, in the strain and eventually it sort of rewards you.
Yeah. But again, you're so honest in this book. I don't know, maybe halfway through the walk, you've got all these blisters. You get to wherever y'all are staying that night, and you throw your legs up on the wall. Did that help anything?
And my wife told me to do it, so I just tried to listen to her. No, it just, I don't know, it got the blood going in the opposite direction or something, you know.
You know, you're exhausted, and you can understand why you might think, why are we doing this?
I did every day, probably at one point, go, why am I doing this? Yeah, every day.
But you get, so at some point, you keep talking about the heat. You guys were really walking in the searing heat, and I'm thinking, boy, he loves Mississippi, but he's only been here in December and in March.
And it's a dry heat in Spain.
So. It's a dry heat. We call that no heat here, Andrew, by the way. But you start getting a little dizzy, or a little, as we all would. And you have a scene in the book where you come back from talking to a guy who was speaking Spanish in the bar, and you go, hey, my Spanish is getting pretty,
yeah,
pretty good.
We stopped and we're at we ordered a Coke and, you know, and some lunch, and I'm chatting away with the guy behind the bar, and I'm just chatting away, and it's just really going well. And I turned to Sam and I go, boy, my Spanish is really getting better, isn't it? And he's like, bro, you were speaking English. I'm like, no, we weren't. And he's like, yeah, you were. And the guy then comes, brings out our food, and he goes, here you go, my friend. And I went, muchas gracias, you know.
You would take to a rise, and you would see the next stop, and you would go, my goodness, that is so far away. And Sam is oh, man, we got this, bro.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting things. We sort of were on opposite emotional tracks a lot of times, which helped us get through. But, yeah, when you're out there walking in the fields, and then the first thing you see of any village is the church spire, because it's the highest point, you know. And whenever, you know, it was a great metaphor for life, really. The minute I'd see the spire, I'd always go, oh, my God, that's so far. And invariably, it's just so much closer than we thought, you know. So I took that with me whenever I kind of feel anywhere in life. I go, how am I going to get there? I just go, oh, it's like the church spire. And you're there.
And when you finally get to the end at your destination, you're done. Sam's ready to go on to the next town, which he does, right? He keeps walking.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I had a book. When you walk across Spain, you walk to this place called Santiago de Compostela, and then you can walk for a couple more days to get to the sea, which a lot of people feel compelled to do when they do the pilgrimage. I did not. And my son did. And, you know, the idea of every parent is that our children go beyond us, you know, and achieve beyond us. And so that when he said, I'm going to walk to Finisterre, Dad, and I just felt so, I'm going to cry now, I just felt so proud that he would just sort of want to go beyond what we'd done together, you know. And he could brag to everybody that, you know, my dad walked across most of Spain. I walked across all of Spain.
He wimped out at the end. Well, it is a beautiful book. You're very honest about yourself and Sam, and we come to love both of you. Do you mind reading just a page or two from it?
Oh, sure. I'm not a good reader, so bear with me.
No, you're a great writer, so you're a fine reader. Y'all, please welcome again Andrew McCarthy.
Okay. This is about where about 150 miles from Santiago, which is the goal. And we were just walking and talking, and I tripped on a root. I'm falling fast. Because I'm carrying an added 20 pounds on my back, I'm falling with more propulsion than I would normally fall. It feels like I'm in someone else's body, or that some cruel and unseen hand is shoving me down with malicious intent. My face goes rushing past a hip-high cement obelisk that we were passing at that instant. I miss it by inches. I land hard on the ground. Dad! Sam screams. It's okay, I gasp. I tend to be pretty agile. I have excellent spatial awareness. I don't usually stumble and rarely fall. If for no other reason than I am so mortified when I do, I'm conscious of my surroundings in order to prevent such a humiliation. And on the odd occasion when I do take a spill, my tendency is to bounce back up on my feet instantly in order to dispel unwanted and embarrassing attention. This time, I stay down. My current vulnerability lets me know just how taxing this walk is on me, how few reserves I have when something beyond what is needed for the task at hand is called upon. Oh, I say, still on the ground. I'm shaken. Are you all right? Sam bends down to me. Yeah, I pant. You're lucky you missed that cement thing. A horrifying image of smashing into the obelisk races into my mind. Had I hit it, my jaw might have shattered or my head concussed. It's age that brings an awareness of the luck of life, how the tiniest membrane can be the difference between a calamity causing enduring hardship and the near miss that allows us to press on, clinging to delusions of invincibility with a potentially catastrophic incident soon forgotten. I don't know that Sam has ever seen me so out of physical control. I feel utterly exposed in this instant. I don't want my son to see me so unsteady, so vulnerable. But this, too, is part of what I have to offer him. Not only the times when he views me as perceptive or skilled or even wise. Maybe moments like this are more valuable for him to witness, my human frailty. He helps me to my feet. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Sammy. Anyway, and then we made it to Spain. And and no one got really hurt. And anyway, it was, you know, I first took this trip 25 years ago when I was a very young man. And it was life-changing to me the first time because it helped me realize how much fear had dominated my life, so much so that, fear was such a strong part of who I was that I wasn't even aware of its existence until the moment of its first absence when I was walking across Spain. I was in a field of wheat, and I suddenly had this, I fell to my knees and had this sort of sobbing tantrum. And when I calmed down finally, I realized how much sort of fear had dominated my life, and it really changed me and liberated me in a huge way, and I'd always wanted to return to Spain and take this walk again. So when I was finally able to sort of con my son to do it with me, it was a real, a beautiful experience for me. And he then, I have to, so people say, did Sam like it? And I go, yeah, I mean, I think he had a big experience as well. He liked it so much that the next year he went back and he did it again. And he said it wasn't as good without me the second time. And it was begrudging, but he said it. Anyway, I recommend, so if anybody ever has a desire to go walk across Spain, I recommend it. It's a really profound, life-changing experience. And it certainly is, it achieved, I think, some of the things I wanted to with my son. It helped me realize, you know, I think it just helped me realize I am what I am, you know, and to let them see that. And to not have to hold myself in some position, you know? Like I always felt my dad held himself in this position of what a dad should be. And I sort of came to feeling it's okay. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Great job, man. Andrew McCarthy, y'all. Andrew McCarthy. Yes, yes. Walking with Sam, a father, a son, and 500 miles across Spain. It is from Grand Central Publishing, and Andrew will sign as many copies as you want to put in front of him tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Square Books. And in fact, Brett and his previous books, I believe they have copies, all of them. Andrew will just sign away. Sign your copy, sign one for your Aunt Betty or whoever. Great guy. And so please go visit and get a book tomorrow at 2 p.m. But, man, wasn't it great hearing from him today? What a real story, a real gentleman. All right. Hey, speaking of gentlemen, how about Reed Brake? You guys are gentlemen. You're from Alabama. You have to be gentlemen. One of you is an expert in forestry. Three of you. Man, this must be like a huge place to you guys. Not a tree in sight. You're in this big old room. Y'all have played Proud Larry's before, I believe, and you're going to play again tonight and in the Blue Canoe in Tupelo tomorrow. We sure appreciate you coming and visiting with us today. You didn't have to do that, but we certainly appreciate it. Their album is called Visions and Dreams. Fine, fine album. And wouldn't you know it? It was recorded at Dialback Sound in Water Valley, Mississippi with Bronson II. Y'all please welcome Reed Brake.
Thanks for having us. This first song's called Beat the Morning Light. It's off Visions and Dreams that came out last summer. And it was once described as a Mississippi version of the Monkey Wrench Gang. So that's a compliment to us. So it seems appropriate that we'll do that. Got a pedal bomb. This next song is called Regret. It is on an album that we're going to release next month. This next one is was off our album that came out last year. It's called Savage Gulf, written about a place up in Tennessee.
Walk on through the stone door, reach the wild side, source of inspiration and source of light. Steps down in the canyon, slow the cardinal time. Half into the ghost, through the sandstone and pine. Sandstone and pine. Sandstone and pine. Worked upon the tableland, chills made of hope. Down ancient tradition, spread the skin. Oh!
Reed Brake, y'all. Let him hear you. Reed Brake. Tuscaloosa, Alabama's Visions and Dreams. Name of their album, recorded at Dialback Sound in Water Valley. Fine recording studio down there. Well, we've had a great time up here today, and thank y'all for being here. Congratulations to the Oxford Film Festival. Y'all have a great weekend. Their website is oxfilm.org. You can check out all the schedules of when the films are and when you want to be here and who you want to check out. We appreciate y'all checking us out. One more time for all our guests, if you don't mind. Serena Wages, y'all, from Memphis. Serena Wages. So good. Andrew McCarthy, y'all. Walking with Sam. Get you a copy. He'll sign tomorrow. And one more time for Reed Brake. Reed Brake, we love him. Thank y'all for being here and adhering to our early start time. Next week, we'll revert to our usual 6 o'clock. We'll be at the Lyric. Please come join us at the Lyric. I think we have 3 shows left at the spring before we take our break. So please join us at the end of the season. Next week, we've got the Ole Miss Gospel Choir and Carrie Hudson. How much fun is that going to be? So join us at the Lyric or online, ThackerMountain.org. Y'all been great. It's been a lot of fun. Let's get one more from this big old band. We'll see you on the radio.
Executive Director is Amanda Weimer. Our Production Director is Tim Lee. Our Broadcast and Post-Production Engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our Front of House Engineer is Blake Gardner.
Even burden, their generator won't get that far. more than a bad condition you gotta have. These beds are sore, but I'm crying, please, please, don't do me wrong.